Welcome to Self, where we discover what it means to be human in a society that shames us for trying to be ourselves.
Within Self, we will delve into topics that make us who we are. We know that there's a lot of bullshit in the world that tells you what you are and what you are not.
We're here to help you and ourselves filter through that. Come along with us as we embark on this journey of self.
So, this is our first episode of the Self, of Self Podcast.
Welcome.
So, let's start with intros of who we are. How about you? What's your name?
My name is Emily Ayers. I'm a student at Cal State Long Beach, currently in my senior year. We both graduate in May. Thank the good Lord.
Praise.
Yes, I am 22 years young. How about you?
My name is Jordan Daniels. I, too, am 22 years young.
Mm-hmm.
I am also a student at Cal State Long Beach, which you just said earlier, so that's redundant of Jordan to say that.
Oh, my God, it's fine. What's your major?
My major is public relations and minoring in film.
Mm-hmm.
How I identify more as a writer than anything. The major itself is journalism with emphasis in PR, so I actually would like to be a journalist more than anything besides PR. But PR is a great, financially secure career, which I've been fed by society is to what it is, which
let's
is
not get into that quite.
You're right. So I'm gonna bring it back. I'm gonna bring it back.
And I'm a journalism major also.
Yes, are you? You are, right?
Yes, yeah, I am. And my minor is anthropology.
Anthropology,
so.
The study of man.
Mm-hmm. Instead of humans.
I like the study of man today.
Okay, stop! Oh my god!
Okay, so since this is the first episode, we want to spend some time to talk about more of who we are and what you can expect out of this series.
Okay, so like Jordan said, we're going to kind of start with who we are. So the first question I have is, where did your journey of self begin?
My journey of self? Oh gosh, that's a loaded question. My journey...
You wrote it!
I sure did. My journey of self began after I had moved from my humble town of Union City in Northern California after graduating high school with my parents. Now, I graduated with my parents, graduated, and then we all moved together. So I moved to Oceanside, California by San Diego, and I began community college there. And I think that's where I began my journey of self.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a space, I grew up biracial, so my mother's Hungarian, my father is black, and so I grew up really influenced a lot by black culture in different ways, but I never felt like I fit in. So I think that kind of put thoughts in my head of me and this idea of self-discovery. And so I went from a space that was extremely diverse. I will say that there was a really huge diverse culture in the Bay Area, essentially, is where I'm from, East Bay. Mm-hmm. Shout out to East Bay. And so it's a very diverse culture. I think on my street I grew up, every other house was a different culture. There was no sense of, like, conformity or uniformity there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I moved to Oceanside, there was a lot of Caucasian fellows that lived on the street. I think my dad was probably the darkest one there. And mind you, he's a calm color of caramel.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to community college where, again, it was predominantly... I'd say a bit more affluent. I wouldn't say rich, but a bit more affluent.
Which was where was your community college?
In Oceanside, yeah. Which is funny because Oceanside has a reputation of being the ghetto area of like North County, which is like Oceanside, Carlsbad, and Sunitas and stuff. Which is so really ironic that I had moved from a place where people thought I was already from the hood to another hood.
Yeah,
quote unquote hood. But yeah, and so when I moved there to Oceanside and began community college, I realized I was in another space I didn't really necessarily fit into. However, there was also a lack of diversity there because in my high school, while I may not have fit into black folk crowd, I fit into other spaces because there was a lot of different cultures for me to go into. And Oceanside, there wasn't as many. So that really began my story of self, my journey of self. Is where I began because
you're challenged, right? So then it forces you to like, okay, well, who am I in the spectrum of all these other people?
Because I was always trying to fit into something. And I had realized all throughout my life up until I started going to college that I was consistently trying to be somebody that someone expected me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I moved, I realized I don't know who I am and I want to explore who I am. So that really was the catalyst to my change as a person.
I love that. That's awesome. Thank That's very
you.
Cool.
How about you, Emily Ayers?
Well, you know what's funny is because I literally just realized right now as we're speaking, like, we both kind of had aha moments when we went down to that area. Because for me, like, when we first were talking about this question, I was like, well, when did that happen for me? But it was when I went away to college to San Diego State, surrounded by Caucasian fellows, that I was like, oh, what in the world? And it was like, I don't know if it was like that for you, but it was such a surreal feeling, because similar living in Long Beach and going to Poly, which was like one of the most diverse high schools in Long Beach, it was like you go from seeing like Samoans to Asians to Blacks to Mexicans. You had everything. And like, even though it was segregated, quote unquote, it was still like people mingled. And going to San Diego State was like you had the white frat people and the white sorority people. And then you had like the smaller group of Black people. But it was weird for me to like walk on campus and to maybe see like one or two Black people throughout the day. Like, that's such a weird feeling, especially going from a school where like you see brown Black faces constantly, right? So then I feel like for me, the journey of self sort of, it was kind of like forced on me in a way, because here I was taken away from like my family and my friends and my comfort zone. And so I feel like when you're in those situations, then you're kind of like scrambling and you're sort of like, okay, well, like you said, how do I fit in? Where do I fit in? And stuff like that. So I think that's where it started for me, was when I graduated high school, left Long Beach, and went to San Diego State.
And tell me if that's wrong. Tell me if this is wrong. I feel like it might have been even a bit more for you in that sense, because you are darker skinned than I am. So I'm definitely more light skinned. So while I don't fit into the white culture, I am a white passing face in the crowd.
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like it's a bit easier for me. So like, what's that like for you in that sense?
Yeah. So. And it's funny too, because for me, because okay, we're both biracial, which he said that, but my mom's white, my dad is Black, similar to his. And so my, I guess, journey figuring out like who I am as a person of both races has been interesting, because like growing up, I went to predominantly like white elementary schools. And so like you said, I was never seen as like a white person. But I mean, in elementary and stuff, did you feel like you were seen as a white child? Or
I want to say yes, because when I think about it and look around, I don't think there were many dark faces around me.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
And the topic of race wasn't a huge thing though, as well, growing up for me. I don't necessarily like the idea of like colorblind society, but also at the same time, like, race really wasn't a factor for me growing up. So I didn't really have a big concept of race at all, really until I went to Oceanside. Just when
that's so interesting, because I feel like it was always something I knew, because I don't know, I feel like it was always something I knew. Like, I've told you the story of when I was younger, I felt it from people when they would, like, ask, oh, are you adopted? Mm-hmm. Or, like, so I feel like I've always had the idea of whether, of race, right? So I always just felt different, because I wasn't accepted by white people as being white, and then I felt like for a long time I wasn't accepted by Black people as being Black. And that shift for me didn't happen until I was in high school at a predominantly Black school, where all of my core group of friends, they were all African-American, and like not light-skinned African-American, like dark African-American. But then that brought on like a whole other slew of like issues, because then I would deal with people at my high school. It was like, oh, if you were a light-skinned Black person, they thought you automatically thought you were better than them, and you thought that you were like, oh, beautiful and blah blah blah. And that, if you know me, you know that's not me at all. And so I had a lot of people who would come up to me and think like, oh, you're stuck up and you're a bitch, and I'd be like, you don't know me, you know what I mean? So it was like this interesting dynamic where I had to like figure out my place there. But I don't know, I feel like I'm also grateful for that experience, because I feel like now as a young adult and being 22, I'm much more confident in saying like, okay, well, I am white and I am Black regardless of how you guys see me. So regardless of if I'm accepted by white culture or Black culture, I feel like I know who I am. And so, yeah, I no longer have to rely on that.
When I was going
to
say, speaking on that, your mom was very, very present, right?
Yeah.
And so is my mom. So I went a lot with my mom places. So for me, and so because my mom and I look exactly alike.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to like not even like think for a second. My father and I think we look alike in different aspects. That's like we look at our features together, side by side. But I think off the bat, we may not look alike, but there weren't many spaces I went out with my dad unless we all went out together as a family. So even at that point, they'd be like, oh, okay. Clearly that's the way I thought that husband, that's her child. With my father, I had a few moments where people thought I was adopted, or not adopted, no, because they also my mom, so they would say, is your father your father? But they would ask if my dad was my actual father.
And it's interesting to have your identity challenged at such a young age. So it's kind of funny that I'm just thinking about that now too, because I don't feel like most people, if you have like a white mom and a white dad and you're white, then obviously to them, to people it makes sense. But when they question it and you're around as a child and it's being questioned, whether you're just with your dad or with both parents, then it's sort of like, oh, wait, okay, so am I not seen as this way or something?
Mm. But even though it was questioned, for the people, my parents never made it apparent to me that there was a huge difference between who they were and the races at all. So it's like the outside factors were really, really present.
Yeah.
But within my household, and I was really sheltered growing up, by them, and which is understandably why. I believe my mom and I have had conversations where she says like we wanted to shield you a lot from like the idea of like what it meant to be interracial and such, because they had a lot of issues with people coming for them being interracial couple. So they never really made it apparent what being different meant. Even my best friend as a child is African Black. He's Kenyan. And so, like, again, like, I, and like, this is not, like, I have a Black friend card at all. But I never grew up with the concept of, like, he's any different than I am, mm-hmm. because he literally is just darker, is all.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. But I think it's kind of neat that both of us, I guess, started those journeys when we were forced out of our comfort zone. But, I mean, it's all very interconnected, but, yeah, I think we both had that push. It seems like when we went off to college, mm-hmm. right? Which yeah. is when it happens for a lot of people. College is often the
space for people, yeah.
Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying earlier, you're just saying, I think a minute ago, talking about how people will often try to challenge your identity. Mm-hmm. I guess a question I think about a lot with myself is at what point, did I make a stance against that? So what point
and, like,
did
you stop caring?
Yeah. Now I start caring, but, like, have you ever, like, addressed it before to somebody? You know,
like, or with the people from that group? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're talking about fitting in with African American, mm-hmm. are you talking about, did I ever address it with them?
Mm-hmm. Or any group. Or any group that has challenged your identity, have you ever permitted yourself to challenge that?
I think, like I said, all through high school, I was challenging it. So all through high school, I feel like I was having to, like, prove to people, like, oh, this is who you think I am, but this is who I really am. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, of course, when you're younger, then part of that is because you feel like you have to tell people, you feel like you have to explain yourself. And so it probably wasn't until, I don't even know, to be honest, maybe, I mean, probably just within the past couple years, truly, mm-hmm. like maybe the last 2 or 3 years, I would say. It wasn't even like there was some aha moment of like, I don't have to prove myself to you. It was kind of just something where it was like, why am I spending my time like explaining myself to people? Because I used to get offended if people thought like, oh, are you Hispanic? Are you Samoan? But now I'm just like, oh, you can think that. That's fine. But I know who I am. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I wish I had a moment where it was like, oh, this is when I stopped like trying to prove myself or explain myself to people. But it's sort of like, I just stopped caring in a way, in the sense of like, I know who I am. I know my father's African American. I know my mom is white. You may not know that, but that doesn't change the fact that I am what I am. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes.
Because I didn't have like an aha moment. So it was a gradual
shift. So you know self. Yourself.
Do I know self? That's a heavy question. I think if you're going to do it in the context of like race, then yes, but it doesn't mean it's still not difficult, because we talk about this all the time. It's still challenging. Mm. You still walk into a room of African Americans and wish that you were automatically seen as African American, right? So I don't think it totally takes that away. I just think it doesn't have as much of like a stinging effect that it used to have if people asked me like, oh, well, what ethnicity are you? Are you Mexican? Or you get what I'm saying? Mm. So yeah, I don't know. Did you have that aha moment?
Where yes and no,
but I know you still struggle with it, which
yeah,
you both
I,
do.
Yeah. I still I think my biggest aha moment was actually when I was with my community college's BSU Black Student Union,
mm-hmm.
and they had a consciousness conference, and I think that was a big moment because it was a lot, you know of like quote unquote conscious African Americans. We were all coming mm-hmm. into a space where we were talking about like Black issues and Black empowerment and Black life and the Black experience, and someone had made a comment to me while I was in the conference. We were talking about the increase of representation, and they made a comment to me saying, "What do you know about the Black experience? You're white."
Mm.
And I think that would happen before I would recoil into this like, you know, like, emotional fetal position,
mm-hmm.
where I just, like, I can't speak.
Yeah.
And I think when they said that, I said, do you think just because I have light skin that my experience is any less than you than yours is? And I said that because I knew this person that grew up in Encinitas, which is a more affluent area. So mm-hmm. I said, you grew up in Encinitas, which is predominantly white area, which means you have money, and now that you have money because your parents just bought you a they just bought them like a Nissan Maxima, mm-hmm. which is like, I mean, it's like a $20,000-$30,000 car. Your parents bought you a Nissan Maxima. I'm driving an 01 Pontiac. That was given to me by my mom, not even like paid for. I grew up in the Bay Area where there's a huge amount of diversity there, where I constantly, where I mean, I didn't live in the street where someone got shot every day, but I lived in a place where there was a lot of gang violence from both sides. I grew up jumped, stabbed, bullied by people. So how are you going to tell me that my experience is any less than yours? It's just because mm-hmm. you're darker skinned, exactly. but yet you grew up in a better air than I did, yet I don't know shit from Shinola because I'm white, even though I grew up in a diverse area and grew up a lot influenced by black culture because I was a lot with my dad's family and stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think I told you about the time, it was actually at Cal State Long Beach where I was walking with people who were like on the e-board, so the executive board of mm-hmm. Black Student Union, and I was meeting one of them for the first time, and he looked at me and he was like, oh, you look like a white girl. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And then I don't know what he said after that, but then he made a comment along the lines of like, well, are you conscious? Kind of the same question you mm-hmm. got asked. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, like I was just like, well, yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's so weird to be in a position where someone challenges your experience mm-hmm. like that. And it's always bothered me though, that they feel like they can do that, because I don't know. I just feel like no one should try to delegitimize what you've been through, like you said, and try to say like, oh, you know, because I look like I'm part of that culture, then I can claim that culture's experience.
But people question your story of self.
So, and it's so frustrating.
So segue from the story of self into what self means. What does self mean to you? That's just the concept of self.
The concept of self. I feel like knowing who you are outside the confines of society, which is difficult because it, you know, society is everywhere, it's in everything, but I at least feel like it's having an awareness that you're trying to break away from that, right? So like all those beliefs that you've been taught growing up and stuff like that that have shaped who you are.
Well, I mean, I asked because self is the point of our podcast, mm-hmm. you know, the idea of self, what the concept of self is, and finding ourselves. Yeah. So, what made you want to start this podcast?
For me, it was something I had been thinking about for a while, ever since I started listening to podcasts. So probably it was this past summer. So what is that, like 7 months ago or something? And the ones I was listening to were more focused on body positivity, but I still just felt a connection with the idea of using, like, people's stories, which obviously has been happening for forever, but I just like the concept of, like, having this hour or 45 minutes or 30 minutes to, like, encapsulate someone's experience, and I just feel like you learn so much more from it, and it feels so much more real. And so for me, when I learned that we both had this interest in starting a podcast, I just think it has the potential to influence people, and especially young people, because I feel like there's not necessarily a lot of positive voices when it comes to being a young adult in your early 20s or in your 20s generally that talks about like the truth of what you're going through, because it's so much up and down, it's so much finding yourself, discovering yourself, and if you're too caught up in like what society thinks about you, I just feel like this is a detrimental time to question everything. So that's kind of why I wanted to start one. What about you?
I feel that myself, I too started this journey of body positivity, and that's how I think I got a lot into this idea of self. I was inspired a lot by the hashtag F Your Beauty Standards movement, mm-hmm. Which began a lot with Tess Holliday, mm-hmm. And then it culminated into a lot of how I view society and how I view myself, and I think that was a huge inspiration of my This Is Me project that I do. And I think the project is what shameless plug, guys. The project
is not a plug. I was about to make the motion of you pulling a plug. Like, okay, this see is you not plug. Just kidding. Hashtag this is me. Go follow it.
No, but truly, I think when I started the project, which is about the idea of human positivity and not just body positivity, I really set in motion for me that I want to open up a space that has these topics of accepting oneself and mm-hmm. loving oneself beyond just their body and their shape. You know, it goes into their race, their sexuality, their identity, their whether it's about mental issues or physical disabilities. You know, I want it to be all transcendent of who we are as people and as humans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have, I think we have amazing conversations quite often about these topics. And it's interesting because I think with yourself, it's gonna be a little exciting moment for a second. There aren't a lot of friends that I have that I can talk about this entire truly existential concept with. I can't talk mm-hmm. about with this with them, and I talk about it with you like endlessly. Like we can have millions of conversations. We can have millions of minutes to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I know that I started podcasting as well. Listening to podcasts when you were talking about them. I've always heard about them. I never understood what they were about. I mm-hmm. got what they were about, but the ones I would hear about were like things about like games, like gaming.
And stuff, yeah, and exactly. So I was like,
and then you got me in tune with the podcast.
Yeah, the podcast. Yeah.
By Bustle. And I really fell in love with that. And then I started exploring on my own. And I started listening to What's the Tea by RuPaul. And I really mm-hmm. I really love Drag Race and I love RuPaul. So I started listening to that. I got into The Love Bomb, which I started listening mm-hmm. to recently. So I started also getting the podcast. And I realized like, with my project, I did it because I want to have a voice. You know, I have someone wanted to be, to create a platform for myself to speak and other people to speak and to be, to have some sort of influence. But I think with us, the best point of our influence comes the fact that we are going through this just like everybody else is. It's not exactly. Like we're not going to bring ourselves as experts. Like we know, we're not the end all be all.
Yeah.
We're going through the same thing that everyone else is going through. So I think that's really got to me on with this with you because I think we have amazing conversations. I think this is a great space for us to do so. Mm-hmm. And to let people know that people, that there are others just like them going through the same thing.
Exactly. And like when you're touching on some of the things about like body positivity and mental health, it's like, I think it leads to the greater fact that life is messy. And so this podcast in no way is meant to be like some clean, perfect little box to say like, oh, this is how you should do it. And this is how we're doing it. It's just like, we're kind of rummaging through the shit together to try to make sense of all this.
Yeah. I hate geometry, so me and boxes are just nothing.
Triangles.
Little circles. Yeah, I want to say like, and it's interesting because I think a lot about this idea now that branding is such an idea of PR, and especially because of the branding process for This Is Me recently. When I think of like self in this moment, I think like we are a treasure chest and we are just like, we're just opening up mm-hmm. and there's thousands of things for us inside of here, and we're just digging through it to find our sense of self.
That's true.
And help others, hopefully help others find theirs as well, or explore it.
Exactly. At least that's our goal. That's our goal.
It's fine. And I was gonna say, I say earlier about life is messy, and I think that has already encompassed our introduction, mm-hmm. Because it's all about exploring and finding our traction, finding our footing in this.
Exactly.
So I do want to say, yeah, I think that was a great end to our first episode because, again, we're just explicating that life is not cookie cutter, it's not clean, it's not,
it's not straight. It's not cut and dry.
Yeah.
And I think we're both just really excited to finally get this up and going because, like you said, we have, it makes me actually excited thinking about it because I feel like we have so many cool things that we talk about. And like I said earlier, I don't know a lot of young people that are talking about it. Mm-hmm. And so I just hope it opens the door for more conversations about these different topics and stuff.
Wait, we had to plug ourselves though in our personal stuff.
Okay, so you can follow me on Instagram. It's gonna be _EmilyMay with 2 E's. And my Snapchat is Mayday21, MAEDAY 21.
Oh, we're doing snaps too.
Okay. Oh, we don't have to. I just put that in there because I didn't know what you wanted. Go ahead. Gotcha. What's your Instagram?
My Instagram.
Motherfucker.
My Instagram is Joe Ho Daniels.
Because he's a ho.
And now it sounds inappropriate, but I said I love like that.
So,
Joe Ho. That's J O H O Daniels, D A N I E L S. On Twitter, it is Jordan H Daniels. And then the Instagram for This Is Me Project is This Is Me Proj, PROJ. And that's it. Be positive, be patient.
Be petty, bitches! Thank you for listening to the Self Podcast. We appreciate you, and we are so honored to have you with us on this journey of exploration.
Join us next week as we take another step on this road to discovery. I'm Jordan Daniels.
And I am Emily Ayers.
And this is a Self Podcast.